and welcome to this episode of Jedi Alliance right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We've got the whole crew, so let's just get right into it. I am one of your hosts, the internet's Mark Budonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica, but I'm not alone. I'm going to skip her for now because she... Never mind. She just put on the cool person shades.
Oh, snap!
Them Weekend at Bernie shades. That's Alexa Torres.
Wait, something happened this week?
She was sleeping! Sleeping on the job!
What? Oh, hi guys. You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. Oh, we got so much to talk about.
Yeah, a little bit to talk about.
Just a little
Hi, Michael Young.
Hey guys, you can find me online at oneyoungster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
Hey!
So yeah, we started early because we figure, hey, we might have some stuff to talk about, but...
I'm keeping these on for the rest of the show.
Yeah, just stay cool the rest of the show.
You deserve it. Hello. It's hotter than Tatooine outside.
Dude,
yeah. And let me tell you.
Have you seen how hot it is outside?
But do you see it?
No, yeah.
Did you see it?
No, when I got here, it was 113.
Yeah, it was 113 when we got here.
Keep that. No, but hold on. Do you understand me, though?
No, if you need to make a good point, just do that.
I am.
Shout out to our audio listeners.
It's like, what? It's 7 o'clock and it's 85 out right now.
That's actually a lot better.
Right. It is, but that's
right
now.
It's a 30-degree improvement from 4 or 5 hours ago.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's, I mean, nothing compared to when we were at the house and the air conditioning would just break.
What?
Dude,
yeah.
I have no air conditioning in my car right now. It is the worst.
Well, you don't have your car right now because it's getting fixed.
Yeah, thank God.
Thank goodness.
Drive real fast. And roll
thank the maker.
That's pretty much what I did.
So, we had a little bit of, something big happen.
It was like real tiny.
We lost Lord and Miller on the Han Solo movie. Everything seems so great, but we're not going to talk about that right now. We're saving that as our lead story, as our main story. So we're going to get to a couple of other things first. Inferno Squad is a novel that's going to be coming out July 25th. I'm really looking forward to it. It is a prequel to the Star Wars Battlefront 2 story. It's all from Aiden's point of view.
Yes.
We got a little bit of a blurb. You know how we like our book blurbs here on the
book
Jedi
blurbs.
Alliance? No, actually, I want... Alexis.
Yes.
I don't know how well that played on camera. I hope...
It probably did.
Man.
Like, yes.
Word? Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, hon.
Word?
Do you have the preview up? Because... I really want to read this, but this is from Aiden's point of view. Not
if
to put
we could.
You, not to put you on the spot. No? Okay.
Oh, man, please.
Okay, all right. So this is a little bit that we got from the Inferno Squad. Imagine I'm an attractive woman. Anyway, moving on from there. The pale moon shape of the Death Star loomed behind the vessel, its gargantuan size making the rebel ship look like toys she'd been allowed to play with as a child. The Y-Wing was making for Yavin as fast as it could, swerving erratically through that enough that Aiden frowned as she tried to get a lock on it. A sudden scalding brightness filled her vision. Temporarily blinded, Aiden hurtled wildly, her TIE fighter tumbling out of control. As her vision returned, she realized debris was coming at her intensely, as if she had suddenly materialized inside an asteroid field. Her focus, always powerful, narrowed to laser-like precision as she frantically dodged and swerved, maneuvering the biggest pieces and wishing with all her being that TIE fighters had shields, which at the time they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden pivoted and tumbled, breathing the mercifully still flowing oxygen deeply and rhythmically, but she knew in her heart it was just a matter of time. There was too much debris, some of it the size of a standard escape pod, some of it as small as her clenched fist, and she was right in the thick of it. The smaller pieces were pelting her TIE fighter already. Sooner or later, one of the big chunks would hit her, and both Senior Lieutenant Aiden Versio and her ship would be nothing more than smears on what was left of Yavin's moon. Somehow, she had wandered too close to the Death Star's target and gotten swept up in the chaotic sweep of destruction, exactly what her commander had been warning her against. But how was that possible? Mayday, mayday, Aiden shouted, unable to keep her voice calm as she desperately dipped and dived to avoid disaster. This is TIE Sigma 3 requesting assistance. Repeat, this is TIE Sigma 3 requesting assistance. Do you copy? Over. Silence. Absolute, cold, terrifying silence. Yo!
I was really sad because my computer for some reason won't bring it up. That's the reason why I couldn't get it up there. But I was like, I'm also really glad that Mark Donica is reading it out loud.
I'm a pretty lady.
You are.
My name is Aiden Versio.
I am not do I ever claim to be as beautiful as that lady? No, thank you.
Oh, you mean as Agent Thomas?
As Agent, we're not. We're on Star Wars. This is a Star Wars show.
I got love for Agent Thomas, man. She's cool.
So just a reminder, Inferno Squad comes to books and I assume audiobooks at the same time. Yeah. July 25th.
It's next week?
What?
No, July. Oh, July. My God. 25th? I don't know what time it is anymore.
It's June 25th. So guys, you got thrown off a lot.
Guys, you don't
see,
understand.
Power comes back today, but then that comes on. Yeah.
Yep.
See.
There it is.
Is that, that's what it was? Sure. Confused between Inferno Squad and Power?
Hey, man, I have a lot going on.
I wonder what that would be like in Star Wars.
What the?
Power in Star Wars.
And put it together?
I mean, I guess it would be like the Black Sun, kind of like that storyline, like, you know, the Black Sun dealing with the Hutts, kind of stuff like that. Maybe,
Have a duel of debates of taking another TV show and putting it in Star Wars to see if those characters can work together.
Hey, man.
I'd be like, could this work?
It's okay. All right. Moving on from there. We got a little bit of a fun tease on Instagram. From Ashley Eckstein and Matt Lanna recording new dialogue for something.
Ooh.
We don't know.
Question marks.
Of course, the voices of Ahsoka Tano and Anakin Skywalker respectively have recently met to record new dialogue for an upcoming Star Wars project. Now, more than likely, this is for Forces of Destiny. Just because the first eight shorts are coming out in July, again. Yeah. And then they've ordered eight more for the fall. So it's entirely possible that we could see Ahsoka, Snips and Sky Guy back together the way that, you know.
The way that we remember the good times.
Before the dark times.
For the good times.
Before the Empire.
Yeah.
But, I mean, super cool news.
Very cool. Especially the way those Forces of Destiny are animated. I like the cool kind of like the, because it's so different than what they usually do in the animation style. I think just having that would be nice to just see the you know, like you said, kind of like when everybody was happy.
Mm-hmm.
Ish.
During the Clone Wars.
So, you know, I mean, it was a war going on, but we, you know, the good guys were the good guys and the bad guys were the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Yes.
To a certain degree.
Everything got more complicated. Everybody was a good guy except the bad guys who aren't the good guys, but some of the good guys were bad guys, and some of the bad guys were cool, so you want to cheer for them like they're good guys?
Yeah.
Next story.
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Chase.
Chase. Want to play some chess?
Chase.
Or was that
Chase? You named her Chase? Chase.
Chase. I'm confused. Yeah.
Chase.
Chase.
All right.
More new stuff.
So, this was fun. This is, Michael, you brought up this story from ABC.
Yes, so ABC News, they reported Star Wars, an inside look at how Darth Vader comics fit with the films. It's kind of like giving you, you know, like a rare look at how, like, the different storylines from his 25 issues, his annual and all that stuff. And I just thought it would be cool to talk about. Now, hold up, where's the quote? Because it was something about on screen. Okay, cool. The quote is, the great thing about it for me was that on screen we've only seen Vader in his armor for 10 seconds before the story begins. He added, it's Vader year one. He's a baby Sith Lord.
Such a weird way to describe Vader in my end.
And yet, but for DC faithful, hearing Darth Vader year one is very like, oh, okay.
That makes sense.
See what you're trying to make.
Yeah, but baby Sith Lord is what threw me off a little
but
bit.
But I love that quote.
That's
what made me add it because I was like, baby Sith Lord. That's perfect.
My little Sith Lord.
Oh my God.
Some great moments from the comics. If you guys haven't read or only picked up a couple of pieces, there's a lot of character growth for Vader that we get to see. You know, him being a baby Sith Lord. For you guys that have read Batman Year One, that's what he means by Vader Year One. Batman Year One kind of covers Batman when he's kind of, you know, getting his off his training wheels and starting to go. And Vader, you know, he finds out about this kid named Luke Skywalker, and he's like, hold up. I thought my kids were dead.
Yeah.
I was told by someone that my kids were dead. So you get to see moments like that. You get to see a lot more interaction with Boba Fett. So you Boba Fett fans, if you like that, get to see him. But you, but one thing that's cool is you get these two droids that he works with, 000 and BT. I can't remember, but
they're full.
They're C-3PO and R2-D2, but very mean and definitely for the Empire. And Dr. Aphra comes into play in there, and it shows how he kind of works outside of the Empire for certain things and works behind the Emperor's back as he learns more about the Empire, as he gets, especially like in Vader Down, as he gets more powerful. As people fear him more, and people that try to double cross him. So it's nice to see, you know, how this fills the character out, I guess you could say.
Well, even more so, I like how they, in the video, which you can check out on ABC, they talked about how much control they have. And it wasn't, and it wasn't this Lucasfilm going, hey, we want you to write a brand new thing that takes place in this. It's, they gave us a time frame and ask us what characters we would like to write about from that time frame. That to me is like ultimate creative freedom.
That's pretty cool.
The fact that someone's like, "Hey, I want to write about Ryder. I want to write about Vader," and they're like, "Okay,
all right, sure." And then you get some great moments and some great just dialogue from Vader in these, and I definitely think it's worth a read. I've checked out some of the issues every now and then, like I think like 3 and 4, and then like 8 through 11 and stuff like that.
Vader Down's good. I got that.
Vader Down is really good, but the hardcover is coming. That's what I want. But the moment when he's surrounded in Vader Down, he's surrounded, and they're like, "Hey, we got you. You're surrounded." And I can't remember exactly how he says it, but he says something like, "I'm surrounded by fear and dead men." And it's like, oh, that's real. Because Vader, like, yo, he don't play. And if you want to see Vader unleashed, if you will, this is pretty good. It is like a Vader Year One, you know. But I've never thought about it as a baby Sith Lord.
So are we gonna get like toddler Sith Lord and like infant, like Damian, young adult? Like, what are we doing? No, stop it,
Dad. I'm learning my powers still.
Yeah. I'm trying to be evil.
Oh, Emperor, jeez.
I really want hair in front of the helmet. Just like, ah, jeez.
Just poking through.
just like little like spikes just coming out. Jeez, gosh, I need my inhaler.
And for a guy like Sheev to have gone through Anakin's adolescence already, being like,
"Oh my god, I love it.
I have to go through this again."
Yeah, or like or Darth Vader being like, "I can't take it."
What, and he has a fainting couch or something?
Oh man, I would love to see Darth Vader fall into a fainting couch.
But Sith fainting couch.
Yeah, it would
there's
be
no
really
padding.
Cool.
It's just metal. It's all lava.
Yeah, it's in Kylo Ren.
Oh,
I mean, yeah.
Wasn't Kylo Ren our moody little Sith Lord?
Yeah, now he is a baby Sith Lord.
That's how I would associate it. But I mean, that you know, maybe that's what's gonna happen just eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he tears up a whole bunch of stuff too. He's like, "What girl is this?" Breaks everything. It's
what?
Like, it's like, I don't know if you know, but that console costed money. Where's like the Empire or the First Order financial guy? He's like,
I would love to see the accounting office.
It costed money.
Yeah.
Just be like, "What are you doing?"
It just seems like there are private military contractors. So,
okay, makes sense.
The certified public accountant for the First Order just sounds terrible.
All right. So, here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna talk a lot about the Han Solo movie and everything that this means.
Oh boy!
Get ready.
Lord and Miller. That was really gross, and I apologize.
I loved that.
It was a perfect pause before
it
too.
It was, though. Like, let's be honest.
So, the original directors of the Han Solo film, Lord and Miller, I always mix up their first names, so I'm just going to say Lord and Miller. This past week were, in so many words, fired from their directorial duties on Han Solo. Now, people throughout, like, involved in the shooting process were like, "Oh, everybody's having a good time on set.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun." Mm-hmm. They're creating some really interesting stuff. And the report was that once they took it to the edit bay, it wasn't coming together as well as they had hoped. Okay. And it wasn't the type okay. of story that they were going for. What's some of the stuff that you read, Michael?
Well, some of the stuff that I read, especially, well, at first I read the whole thing about, oh, you know, we had some creative differences. We're just going to leave the project. But, you know, everybody's happy. Everybody's cool. And then Variety puts out that report where it's like, ho, 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 we got an exclusive. Yo, Lucasfilm hates them. No. They got fired.
I just.
What?
I don't believe that.
I was just so confused because just again, I thought that the article seemed like everything was kind of moving nicely, and then all of a sudden I was like, where are all these palm trees coming from?
Yeah.
Where is all the shade? It's like enough for everyone.
Yeah,
like,
because they've been filming for a minute, and we haven't heard anything. We've just seen pictures of like Han Solo. Mm-hmm. We've seen pictures of Lando of the team together, Chewie and stuff. Everything seems copacetic. Then all of a sudden, we have some creative differences. I'm like, yo, isn't it kind of
late?
Coming out next
year. You guys have been filming for a minute, and then I don't want to. All right, so here's the deal.
We're literally on a Star Wars show.
I don't want to super speculate, but okay. They say we have creative differences, and all of a sudden it's like, well, Ron Howard might be the guy. It's like, well, how would Ron Howard even be considered? Like, no diss to Ron Howard, but when I think Star Wars,
new director, new to Hollywood, Ron Howard,
new guy, you might have heard of him.
New kid on the block.
He's never acted or anything like that.
Yeah, he's never done anything. Yeah, he's a baby director.
He's a baby director. Just getting his beak wet. Yeah. But but it's, you know, all of a sudden it's, oh yeah, he's going to be the director. It's like, I feel like you guys knew that and didn't tell us yet. And I feel like maybe Lord Miller, has been gone longer than we think, and you were trying to figure out how to break it to us.
No.
That's what I'm just saying. We might as well speculate.
No. First of all, no, that's not usually how those work. If there is an issue with staff on that end, it's... there's an acting director, so like a field director or second unit or whatever takes over for main unit until the overarching director situation is taken care of. So if they have been out for a little while and they did have somebody that was on site directing, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah,
but it has since been made official that Ron Howard is coming in and taking over the rest of the shoot. Now, as far as I know, they were weeks away from wrapping.
Are you taking over?
No. Here's the thing. Yeah. There's weeks of principal photography, and then there's going to be reshoots and pickups that are going to finish out the summer.
Oh boy.
So, I mean, well, no, reshoots were already, they were already scheduled.
Yeah, there's always reshoots.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was probably something where they were looking at the process, and now the reshoots, even though they're already scheduled, might be completely rescheduled and rework. And for somebody who has been around so many different types of film, like Ron Howard is, to have these pieces, to know, all right, to be the Dr. Frankenstein of it and go, okay, how do we connect those? All right, let's put here, and then we'll have a little bit of heart in there. And he truly has to, he's playing Operation.
Yeah.
You know, and he has to get in there. And if there is anybody that can do it, Ron Howard is one of those directors.
I agree.
What I didn't know, and was in what I think it was in the Variety article, it might have been in another one.
Okay.
Apparently, in 2015... he revealed that back before the prequels, George Lucas came to him and said,
"Oh yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'm working on a little movie. It's called Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. I would love to have you direct it."
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah. So
wow.
Which is,
I wonder now.
No, because you. But that's the thing is, Ron Howard has been on the minds of Lucasfilm since The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
So if there's somebody that they already feel confident with that type of source material, and they've had that confidence for 20 years, how much better can this go?
Yes, I do. My problem isn't with his skills, because I know Ron Howard, he hasn't really hit it out of the park in a while, but he makes solid movies. But it just seems like this is a weird situation to step into, because this isn't like a smaller film. This isn't a this isn't like a personal piece on, like, you know, like a, because he does a lot of biopics and stuff like that.
Well,
like,
more recently.
I guess this is on Han Solo, so I guess you could say this is a biopic on a fake person, but it just, this is a larger project, especially to come in. It just seems weird because it's so late, you know, but they are still, they haven't done their reshoots yet, but it just, I'm like, this is, it, regardless of how good you are as a director, like, this is tough. This could still end up being muddled and kind of just like a thing that doesn't really have any aim or whatever, because it's like, well, I came in at the 11th hour. And because think of all the post-production time that a film like this needs, you know, it's not, if this was, you know, if this was like Spotlight or something, it would be different. Yeah. You know, a smaller film is, are there any special effects in Spotlight? There's like, you know.
There's always special effects.
Well, yeah, yeah. But, I mean,
touch-ups here, lighting but I know what you mean.
Yeah, like.
Major effects.
We're not going to space. We're not inventing.
Spoiler.
We're not going to space in Spotlight. But it just seems like this could end up being a rush job, because we have to get into post-production so they can do their thing.
True.
And, you know, get it on screen for us to be able to see next year. So I'm worried, not because he's not a good filmmaker, but because what can you do with this small amount of time with a film that's sort of done?
Delay it.
But,
yeah,
well, I guess they could push it back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
They could.
Like, they're already pushing it by going, all right, now we're doing stuff in spring.
Do we have a full date or just a month? Okay,
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, we had a full date, and it's still set. They haven't announced any changes to anything yet, but it's spring. So
yeah, they could move it.
They could just move it forward, make it a full summer tent pole.
Oh, yeah, summer. Yeah, that's
yeah.
A good one.
And go on from there, depending on... but then it would go up against Avengers.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking of. Unless they will...
Can't push it back a full year. Because
that messes up episode 9.
Yeah. No, that's see, that's tough, because I feel like they can probably do, because I feel like Avengers comes out, I don't know if it comes out in May or in June, but they could probably do the beginning of summer and then have like Avengers somewhere in the middle.
I think they could just move it back to where it was, go up against Aquaman, like the date December slot just out of necessity and marinate it a little bit longer and do...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Why not? And not necessarily reshoot the whole movie, but damn. They could do something like that.
Yeah, because Ron Howard, when I think of... There's like another part of this where, you know, they talk about like Lord and Miller and how Kathy wasn't really too keen on what they were bringing. And to their credit... Everybody knows what Lord and Miller does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't brand new. Like, when I say Lord Miller, it's like, oh, the comedy guys. You know, they do comedy stuff. They make fun stuff.
21 Jump Street, Lego movies.
They make fun movies, and is, you know, you get to it, you know, they have high replay value because they're funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't specifically say that they're primed for Star Wars, but I'm not saying that they can't do it,
No, I was going to say, like, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I feel if you're going to put humor into Star Wars, I feel like Han Solo would be kind of the movie to do that, I feel. Because I feel like because of their banter between him and Chewie, like, you could do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I understand where fans are coming from, which everyone in the chat is blowing up with their stuff. A lot of people said that they were really excited to see how this was going to go, or some people were like, I wasn't even on board. Even before, like right when they told us who the directors were.
I liked Eric Bay Anderson asked the question, would George Lucas be a last resort?
Yeah.
Now, if
but he's retired,
isn't he? I thought he was retired, but if there would be something to bring him out of retirement, it would be this.
I feel like it would be this.
Yeah, I think he could do this.
Or maybe a team
I mean, I know he's already said, like, you know, I don't really want to get into it, but I think Spielberg could fix it.
Okay. Isn't Spielberg busy with something, though?
Yeah, he's working on the film.
Ready Player One.
Yeah.
That's right. But I mean, it'd be kind of nice if George Lucas came out of retirement. Maybe him and Ron Howard can team up together, since we haven't really seen Ron Howard really put his
on set producer, something like that. Something he did for the original Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that would be kind of nice to have them back together and just kind of like.
Yeah, I think that could be real fun.
So somebody brought up in chat also that we are just reading reports. That's entirely true.
Yeah.
But going off of. Records going off of what Lord Miller's previous track record and how much they do incorporate the entire cast with telling the story and changing the story.
Yeah.
Now, the issue
that's probably a big deal.
Yeah. So it seems like less of a, hey, everybody's having on set, I want to squash that, and less of, no, we need this beat here for this particular reason. This is going to set up another thing for 5 years from now. You know, it's a studio picture. It's not, it's not an indie film. It's not, you know, it's not a loose tapestry that you can form your own drawing on.
Yeah, because there was an article that did mention their, improvising. And I was like, yeah, because that's a big comedy thing. Mm-hmm. Like, a comedy thing, like, if you're in a, I've been in some productions and stuff, and, like, you know, if you're a comedy director, it's like, you know what? Come in here, like, it's written, like, let's do it how it's written. And then next time, come in here and, you know, do how you feel.
Yeah, then
And you can't really do that when you have a story group. You know, you have a story.
You got
story,
Pablo Hidalgo across the set going,
like, whoa, we can't just do it how we feel.
What did you say?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're like, okay, cool, I like that. Now, come in here and this time, don't even look at her. Just don't even look at her and say this. Or when you come in here, don't look at him, but, you know, slam the door instead or something. You know, just, you know, play it up. See, let's see what happens. And you can't see what happens with Star Wars. And that probably didn't help. You know, if that was the case.
And this is also a situation where we're dealing with a prequel where these characters already exist.
So
if you go too far in one direction, then that could directly affect a decision that we have already seen.
Yeah.
And especially with prequels, I figure Disney is trying to be as close to the hip as they can.
Yeah. Yep.
And
because people
will
be like, well, why did they act like this in episode 5? Or why did they act like this in episode 6? Or something like that.
So. People still give crap over, no! Like, regardless. Sorry for interrupting you, Alexis.
No. I was just going to bring up two things in the chat that I want to get your guys' preference on. Well, no, one thing in the chat, sorry. Mm-hmm. But to the Spielberg thing, Cunningham in the chat said Spielberg is doing both post-production for Ready Player One and shooting the Washington Post movie.
Yeah, the Washington Post. That's what I was thinking of.
So he's occupied. But James Farley brought up something interesting, and I want to get what you guys think. He said George Lucas would 100% not play ball with Lucasfilm on this. George Lucas would want to bring his own vision to Han Solo, and I think it's too late in the game for that.
I can agree with that.
I just wanted to see what you thought of that. I love it because Sarah Brock was like, someone call Justin Lin.
You know what? Justin Lin, he got hits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, but are we going to get dirt bikes in Han Solo?
Hey, man.
Yo.
Hey, man. Space dirt bikes? All about it.
It's weird because, you know, you got like, he got hits. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think, it's weird. I don't think I could see him. But, I mean, same thing with Justin. James Wan. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he had the range he had. And then I was like, oh, okay. All right. You know.
Here we are.
Guy got hits.
Here we are.
You know, Justin Lin, I know it would definitely be flashier on those, you know, like on the scenes where like Han Solo has to go to like an event or something. It's going to be a little flashier. It's going to be a little saucier outfits of the galaxy. I'd say that.
I mean, I don't know.
it could be interesting on that.
This is a very unique situation, and fans are split. Like, and we're going to keep talking about it. This isn't me trying to wrap it up at all because we still have plenty of time to talk about it. But, ultimately, we're going to see this movie.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like, just, like, they gave us something to talk about. But overall, like, we are going to be seeing this movie day one.
Yeah.
Maybe even before day one, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Disney.
So that's... really quickly, James Farley said Dave Filoni maybe could have taken over. That would have been amazing.
You know what?
No, seriously, like
I'm down with that because I'm ready for him to move up, unless he's getting ready to move up into live action TV for Lucasfilm.
Yeah,
but I'm ready for him to move up to some live action stuff.
We'll find out. But this is to say, like, we can argue about tone it seems like one of the biggest arguments that I've seen coming from this, and it seems a little bit too ridiculous to me, is that Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm are trying to put a stop to comedy.
Yeah, no, I saw that article. I thought that was a little far.
Okay, so in the article, it's brought up that before the Disney takeover, we had the Family Guy shorts or the Family Guy episodes.
Yeah.
We had the Robot Chicken episodes.
Yeah,
there was Seth Green and the Stupid Monkey Crew, which is the production company behind Robot Chicken. They were working on a Star Wars series, an animated Star Wars series that
never
essentially
happened, right?
And it never happened.
Right.
They announced it, and the people were like, well, they put that, they left that on the shelf and they didn't do that. That's because they were going to be doing it for Cartoon Network, which is a Warner Brothers owned property.
And they wanted to put it on their own.
Yeah. And being bought by Disney invalidates that contract. So, hey, cool, whatever. It's a very simple answer. We've got Legos. And that's already already a proven commodity, and it sells toys,
and it's fun,
and it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of places where there is room for comedy, to be sure. And I'm not just trying to tout a corporate line because I want a job, but it's
what Disney.
I
do.
It's what Disney.
Disney.
There is room for comedy in the Star Wars universe. Was Han Solo the place to do it? I don't think so at all. Han Solo does have comedic elements to it. Yeah. He's not a banana peel sliding, Groucho Marx glasses wearing. Nah. Like, no, it's not. This never seemed to me like it was going to be a comedy film.
No,
because you take out quote comedy guys and put in a guy like Ron Howard, who has done plenty of comedies and weird comedies. You ever see Splash? That's about a mermaid.
Splash. You had to go there, didn't you?
You know what, guys? Watch Splash. Watch it.
So that's the thing. It doesn't feel to me like this. This doesn't seem at all like Kathleen Kennedy went comedy. None of that.
No.
These were guys who were given a script and a world to follow along. Not saying that they're bad at their jobs. Saying that they're maybe a little too good at their jobs by allowing that freedom of character play. And that will eventually help in the final product regardless, because they'll have better understandings of those characters. But it seems to me like it's more of this was the script.
Yeah.
We asked you to stay to the script. We're seeing the dailies.
Maybe the assembly cut, maybe.
Something like that. We're seeing the rough cut as it's being built, and it's not coming together the way that we hoped.
Yeah.
This is a huge movie for us.
And we can't play with Han Solo.
Thank you so much.
We can't mess up Han Solo.
Thank you so much for your time. Check is in the mail. We'll see. We'll send you a Christmas card.
And
No, because the fact that you brought up the whole improv thing, like that, like if that was something that they were talking about, like in interviews and stuff, that would worry me. Because I feel like I can see them being like, here's a script. And they're like, well, we're not really going to be sticking to that. We're pretty much just going to be doing some improv mostly. And if that works, that works. I'm like, okay, you can do that, but don't do it for the entire movie, like a 21 Jump Street. Like, I feel like that would fit for something of that nature.
Yeah.
But Star Wars, I feel like you're going
to
need.
If we got
balance.
New characters and got Lord Miller to do a 21 Jump Street esque, like zany comedy in the Star Wars universe, but not with Han Solo and Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
And
sure.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a problem that since, you know, you have different companies building these very interconnected, very canonized, you know, properties, I think you're starting to see, you know, a lot of the directors like, you know, people will say like Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino could never work, and this isn't Star Wars or DC or because as good as he is, I don't think he's good enough to fit in a box. And I know this is a weird thing. As an artist myself, you guys are artists and stuff. When you, if you're a designer, there's certain designers that are like, oh, you know, I have my own inspiration and I can whatever. But some designers can do that and also follow what is called a style guide.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, these movies like Marvel or Star Wars, or whatever, there is a style guide. And some directors can't follow that. It's not that they're less of an artist. It's just that they're different. And if they can't follow that style guide, they're not going to get hired. And maybe Lord and Miller are just like, hey, we're great artists, but we can't come in and be like, oh, okay, cool. The font is like this. The color is like this. Your headers are always like this. Your footers are like this. And they can't follow that.
Mm.
You know, and maybe that's just an issue that a lot of these newer hot directors are having problems with, because they get hot for being themselves.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, unfortunately, none of the old school cats are telling them like, okay, this is great. You got your own style. But when you come into the studio, you're going to have to switch that. You're going to have to fit. You're going to have to design in here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to make this cool. Yeah. You know?
I mean, I can see that, because especially because the way, again, how their movies are, they just seem like they're like, all right, this is kind of this is your plot, and you guys can just kind of mold it to the way that you think would be funny.
Yeah.
With Star Wars, you can't really do that, because it's been just around, and like there's a specific aesthetic for it. So if you're like, now nah, we'll just wing it and see what it looks like, you're like, oh god, no.
And folks are saying it in chat, so I do want to bring it up.
Yes.
There's a port from a website called Star Wars News Net. One of their people closer to the set used the words Ace Ventura style.
Yeah, somebody said that in the chat as well.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up.
That is, well, see, Ace Ventura is great, but it's not Star Wars. Yeah.
Could you imagine Jar Jar Binks, Pet Detective?
Oh, you know what? Though?
That would be hilarious.
I'd be about that.
I mean, that's hilarious.
The type of character that that's for.
Yeah, like I can see that because it's that kind of like dumb luck winning that you would get, you know. And yeah, I don't want that for Han Solo.
Han Solo has to be, he's one of those characters that it's like, you just can't mess with, man.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there are times where we have Han Solo moments where it's like, oh, he got lucky on that one, yay. But there are also times where, like, you can't do that for a whole two hours.
No, but those moments are earned.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's because you've gone through, it's because you've learned these people. Yeah. It's like, somebody should be able to go into the Han Solo movie and not understand that this is a forward reference. That's a forward reference to, oh, that reminds me of that thing that I saw that's going to happen to him in the future. That's going to be funny whenever that happens.
That's going
to
be funny.
to reinforce a moment that happens in the regular trilogy.
Yeah.
But with this, and as much, there's somebody in the chat, and it keeps going so fast, so I can't, I can't read it. But somebody mentioned that we need new blood in Star Wars.
Yes. Opie Smith, I think, said that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Opie, I totally agree with you. In this instance, it takes a seasoned director like a Ron Howard to go, hey, Ron, we have 8 weeks of, well, we have 3 weeks of principal production and, or 3 weeks of principal production and 5 weeks of reshoots. Can you help? Yeah, I can help.
Yeah, this would not be a good time right now to be like, hey, we're just going to find a new director who's
we're reshooting the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll bring in a fresh director, but we need a ringer. We need somebody who can handle this situation and still make it as close to release date as possible.
And that's why I think Ron Howard is a good enough director that can be like, okay,
the man did How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
I could just see him like just sitting there and he's like, all right. Let's get to work. Like, you know,
and he doesn't seem like a guy that gets jumpy. So he could come in there and be like, okay, well, let's look at the film. Let's see what we got.
And then start writing notes
and be like, okay. Yeah. And then, like, look at the original script and be like, okay, cool. All right. Let's see where that is. And, you know, and kind of get it flipped around for them, hopefully.
And still keep whatever humor probably was still left over that, like, okay, this sticks. And make it, like, classy. I don't really know how that is. That sounds terrible.
Well, no, here's the thing.
Ace Ventura is not classy. He is classic.
Shut
up. He's not classy.
You know what I mean? Like,
with a guy like
the keys.
With a guy like Ron Howard, your movie will never be in Arrested Development.
Oh, ooh, my God. You know what? You can just find me
that's
later.
It. Drop it.
You guys can find me at atorres890. I'm gone. Thank you for watching. I'm
One
out.
Youngster, we out.
I said Arrested Development. It's a joke because it's a show.
Because okay. Right. He did a show.
So, yeah, I think that's one of the main things. We do have young blood throughout. Oh, she don't care. She ain't care. We've got Rian Johnson and Colin Trevorrow. Now, actually, this brings up something else. Colin put out a movie this week, an indie darling, that's not doing too well.
People aren't liking it as much.
But for that, people are going, episode 9's gonna suck.
Yeah,
how do they get from point A to point B?
Well, it's because it's not the
it's
movies.
Not the, same.
The movies aren't similar. You want to look well? Okay, let's be honest. Colin got this movie because Jurassic blew up. Like, that's straight up.
Okay.
That's why he got it. But that doesn't mean that this movie that people aren't liking doesn't mean that Star Wars inherently is bad or will be bad because of it. When you have a film like Star Wars, it's not like it's his way or the highway. So he's not totally making this movie on his own. And I'm sure they'll help correct him where needed and stuff like that because you're talking about a different team, a different property, a different mindset. So I can't equate a small indie film
to
Star Wars as far as how you make it.
And while people were a little split on Jurassic World, it seems like a lot of people really liked it, a lot of people didn't really like it, and only a few people were like,
So, like, for a big blockbuster like that, he knows how to make them.
Yeah, he knows how to make
money.
Them. Yeah.
And I think
there's another movie that came out recently. People don't like that director, but he knows how to make blockbusters. Yes.
Do we have to talk about say the robot?
Say what you want, but he knows.
I can't even.
Say what you want, but he knows how to make. He puts butts in seats.
He knows how to make a movie roll out.
That's two. No, Alexis, stay. Oh, she's getting her glasses. Okay.
Please.
So yeah, I think Colin plays well in like the studio system doing studio movies, mm-hmm. and with Disney behind his back to sort of like clean up his work sort of a thing here and there. I think episode 9 is going to be fine. Something else that was brought up, Paul Anthony Maguire says, the thing that everybody's forgetting to talk about is that this is Larry Kasdan's swan song. This is his last movie.
Oh, because he wrote it with his son. I forgot. Yeah.
So it's a double team with the Kasdans.
Yeah, this is another thing that's like, so you have Han, that's a big deal, and you got Lawrence, which is a big deal. So you know Lucasfilm is really, they might be cherishing this maybe too much, or maybe they're doing it just enough. You know, maybe they're,
we won't know.
We'll never know until we see it.
Yep.
And we'll never see the original cut.
Because Lucasfilm knows. They know better.
They're going to burn it.
They're literally going
to burn it.
Yeah.
After Ron Howard sees it, makes his notes, keeps whatever. Any footage that they don't keep is probably like being melted right now.
Yeah, there's like a little incinerator. Just like, just shovel it in there. Like,
yeah, because nobody will ever get a hold of this.
Wow, that makes me sad. I just want to be that one intern that's only there for a day. It's just like, yeah, I'm just here as an assistant.
Is that a flip phone?
No.
Is that a flip camera?
Yeah, I still have mine, actually.
Oh, wow.
So
flip
cam.
It's like, I can throw this away.
Yeah. So is there anything else that anybody wants to talk about Ron Howard before we move on?
No.
Ron Howard, you know, you're welcome. Come on down here. Let's talk some Star Wars.
Let's talk some Star Wars.
I will open you open arms. Just
all right.
Talk about it.
Now, before we get to our final segment, there's something very important that I want to mention first before we get into it, so that we have you in the chat voting on it. We're looking, so pay attention, Alexis. No, pay attention in the chat.
I am.
So before we say the topic, we're looking for vote one or two. That's all you have to do is you need to vote one or two. One or two.
We had an eyeglass.
Shout out to our audio listeners.
Yep.
So vote one or two right now. I'm going to take the moment to talk about iTunes. Make sure you go to iTunes. Look us up, Jedi Alliance. We are the only one named Jedi Alliance. That would be weird if it was anything else. But make sure to leave us a comment, a rating. It helps us helps people find us in the ratings, and more people listen, more people join the family, more people join us live, because if you're listening to us on iTunes, maybe you don't know that we are live on YouTube. We record every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we, as you've been listening, we interact with the live chat as the show goes, so you become a part of the show, you become a member of the Alliance, so make sure to leave a comment on iTunes, make sure to leave a comment, on YouTube. Where am I? It's a wonderful time having all of our fans and listeners involved in the show, because whether it's an opinion that we agree with or an opinion that we disagree with, we make sure to feature it all, and especially with this whole shakeup biz. Oh, did yours freeze too?
Yep.
So I'm back.
Why can't
though.
I see anything?
Mine is back.
Yours is back.
Yeah.
Are you getting a lot of ones?
I think mine's. I'm
getting one, two. Somebody put 24.
Mine went out.
Somebody said one and two.
That's not how that works.
No, yeah, you gotta pick one, y'all.
Okay.
I'm bringing up on my phone.
Getting like ones and twos. I think we're getting more twos.
Yeah, I'm gonna count them.
Sarah Brock voted four.
Girl. Sarah. Girl. Look me in the eyes. Pick one or two.
Can you all actually...
Come on, help me out here. 25. Derek Smith, what are you doing to me?
All right. So while Alexis is accumulating those, it's time for Duel of Debates. You got to feel the energy coming in. It's like we're in a big...
unlimited power.
That's pretty good. That's solid. All right, so...
I do it.
We were originally going to be doing a different question this week. But
literally right before we went live, we decided to change it. Today's Duel of Debates is Ron Howard the best choice for picking up the Han Solo movie? Hmm. One of us is going to be debating for, one of us is going to be debating against.
That's right.
We will need 90 seconds up on the clock. Thank Woo-hoo. You, Neil. And the whole reason of voting one or two is so that you can pick who defends for what. Now, at this time, we put up our last week's Duel of Debates up on our Facebook, so you make sure you go check that so you can vote and see who won. We only had one person comment, so.
But we have like 1,000 views or something like that.
Yeah, people are watching it, but they're not commenting. Yeah. So this week, let us know who you think argued the best, and as well as what your opinion on the subject is. Alexis, what do we have?
We have twos is the one that actually won. All
twos are the winners. Okay.
Okay. 2-1.
So that means that Michael is going to be arguing for Ron Howard.
Okay.
And I'm going to be and I'm going to be arguing against Ron Howard.
Oh, okay, Michael, okay. You're always getting the other one. You gotta be positive, my friend. I believe in you.
No, he's for Ron Howard.
Oh, I have sorry, to go that's against right. Sorry. Ron Howard. Skipping it. Sorry. I switched it up. I'm sorry, Mark.
Okay.
Good luck, I believe in you.
So Alexis, do you have a coin? How do we pick it? Who wants to go? Okay. All right, flip it.
It's terrible. I'm going to lose this.
Okay.
Ready?
All right.
I'll call it. Heads.
No, I'm not going to touch it. Tails.
Tails? All right. All right. So that means that you're going first
okay.
to four Ron Howard.
4-1 now. Here we go.
And I was going to try to check and see if I remember any extra Ron Howard stuff, but no. I'm going clear.
You're going clear?
Clear. I didn't do any Ron Howard, you know, practice test.
I just have Ron Howard notes for the discussion, so I got lucky.
Yeah, I got to. All right, cool. So, okay. Whew. All right.
So, Alexis, count him in, and Neil, stand by with the clock. Make sure to also turn off the buzzer.
Oh, yeah, make sure, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks, Neil.
Cool. All
right, here we go. I love how someone said tails.
Thank you for calling it in the chat. But, Alexis, you count Michael down, and we're going to get started with this week's Duel of Debates.
All right, Michael, you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, go.
When you watch a movie, when you see a movie, geez. Whenever you get into a movie, what do you want? Something that is crafted well, something that is received well, something that fans and critics like, and that something is structure, it's heart, it's love, it's tone, it's pacing, it's editing, and that's what a master director, a Oscar-winning director, and Ron Howard will do for you and your movie. People at home, if you're wanting to watch something that's nice, if you're wanting to watch something that's got a little heart, something that'll keep you interested, something that you can watch again and again, Ron Howard has got it. Hit up his IMDb. I don't have to lie to you. Check the credits. He got them receipts. And when Disney said, we need someone to come in here and corral this film that just needs a little more love, they said, let's find someone who's seasoned. Season like a good piece of pulled pork in your sandwich. Season like a beautifully baked or beautifully made hamburger. That's right. A movie made by Ron Howard that not only can fix any issue that you have, that can take this crumbled, muddled mess from people trying to make Ace Ventura 2017. No. Ron Howard has the foresight, has the direction, has the leadership to take what is a sinking ship and patch that hole.
It's time.
Oh, yep, that's time.
I don't think I didn't notice it, Neil. At the final 10 seconds, he brought up the pink light slowly until that was it. Whew. All right. Okay.
Yeah, did anybody else feel like they were at church? Because I was like, man, I feel like a sinner all of a sudden.
I'm doing it. Look, Ron Howard, look, come on down here. Talk Star Wars with us.
I'm going to give him a lot of time to kind of to cough.
Oh, man.
Yup.
All right. I think I'm good.
All right. You ready, Mark?
As ready as I will be. We just spent 25 minutes going, yeah, this will work, and now I have to essentially undo all the stuff that I did.
I believe in you. Here
okay.
we go. All
right.
Neil, you ready? Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Ron Howard We're talking about Opie here.
Keep it together, Michael.
All right, so here's the thing. As we talked about earlier in the show, George came to him to direct episode one. He didn't even do that. He didn't even want to take the reins for that. He didn't feel comfortable enough to deal with Star Wars then. What makes you think that he'll be comfortable to do Star Wars now? 20 years of movies? That's ridiculous. You know what happened in those 20 years of movies? How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That wasn't a great movie. Come on. Why would you have to Actually, that's a great reason. Yeah. He took a character that was already beloved in the public lexicon, the Grinch, and somehow made it weirder and harder to watch and kind of gross. And don't get me started on that.
Oh, God.
We've already seen him do space, by the way. That was Apollo 13. It's probably going to be a much better movie than Han Solo will ever be. I'm really getting into character.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. It hurts.
And it's usually the surprises ones, the ones that are closer to his heart, the subjects that he goes all in on that end up becoming the award winners, that end up becoming the ones that we remember. The ones like A Beautiful Mind, the ones like Cinderella Man, the ones like Rush a couple years ago. In the Heart of the Sea? What is that? That did not do as well as everybody wanted. So Ron Howard, probably not the best person for the job. He's not Mr. Right. He's Mr. Right Now.
Wow. Oh, damn. Man.
Mr. Right Now.
Now.
Okay. Mr. Right Now? Wow.
I felt really bad about that,
I really love Rush. Rush is an amazing movie.
And
I love
people
Rush.
People go, that was Ron Howard? Ron Howard did Rush?
Yeah. Rush is...
What?
Rush is a baller
I'm
movie.
I'm hurt. Like, I'm so hurt. I know you didn't like mean technically a word from it, really, but like, damn, that hurt.
All right. He's Mr. Right Now.
So, Mr. Right Now. Like an X or a rebound director. Right. What the
so
shit?
So that's one of the... ma'am.
Sorry. Ma'am. Sorry.
That's okay. Goodness.
All right. I'm so fired up. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So here's the thing.
It's the shave.
So here's one of my favorite things about Duel of the Debates. It makes you take a position that you may not necessarily agree with.
I was just looking at the chat.
Like last week when I had to say stormtroopers were good. I mean, they're kind of good, but you know, I guess they get the job done.
Yeah. So here's what's going to happen. You go over to Facebook and you make sure you like us on Facebook. We're Jedi Alliance. We're going to put the video up sometime this week.
Yeah, probably, definitely. Probably it'll be up in the morning, guys.
I'll just tell you that after yeah. But yeah, so make sure to leave your votes there on our Facebook page and comments down below on who you think won that Duel of Debates and what other debates you want us to duel. We do have a list of some stuff that has been asked previously through the previous iteration of Duel of Debates, but some of that stuff is really fun, and I would like for, you know, a lot of stuff has happened since that last time. Rogue One it has come out, and I don't think we haven't done any duels necessarily related to that, so leave us some Rogue One stuff, leave us everything. We absolutely love doing it. This was a lot of fun. I can't believe I just did that. Ron, I love you.
Ron,
I love
come
Arrested
down
Development.
And talk.
I really did.
Come
like,
down here.
I played, like, Alexis can Perfect. Tell you, I played the Andy Griffith theme at my wedding.
Oh, I know. It was my
really?
Favorite.
It was a mashup.
You know what? That's it. Ron Howard, come down here.
It was a mashup between that and the Single Ladies.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things.
My favorite.
It's one of the greatest things in the world. It's so great. Let us know who you think won. Leave us more debates down below. And find us on social media, because that is going to do it for this week on Duel of Debates. I just came up with a really bad one for the ending. But Alexis,
good.
What's up? What's up with you? Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
You guys can find me all over there. Over there. You guys can find me all over the interwebs at atorres890. I am on a few after shows on our sister network, AfterBuzz TV. I just did Wynonna Earp earlier today. We have Sense8 on Mondays, Robots in Disguise, speaking of Transformers, on Tuesdays. The good one. You can find that on Tuesdays. And again, keep up with my wedding vlogs that I'm slowly coming out with, just about how I'm slowly losing my mind as I plan a double wedding. It's insane.
Bless you, girl.
Thank you.
Michael,
Well, you can find me here every Sunday doing my thing, talking about Star Wars.
Ape.
And during the week, you can find me at Black Hollywood Live, Nerd Soul, this one word, NERDSOUL. And it's so fun to talk about movies, comics, cartoons, all that good stuff. Doing a Ghostbusters read-along. If you like Ghostbusters and you like comics, holla at me. And you can, of course, find me all over the internet at ONEYOUNGSTA.
And I'm the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I did a lot of stuff this week. I met up with our friend Ken Knapsack and did an episode of Star Wars Ranked for Force Center Pod. We talked about the top five things that Star Wars Land needs to do right. It was a lot of fun. I highly recommend everybody go out and listen to it. I also did an episode of the Knapsack Files, which is where he sort of just deep dives into his friends and compatriots in the entertainment industry. And it was really nice just to talk to Ken.
Oh, yeah. I listened to it at work. It was awesome.
Thanks, dear. It's just nice to talk to Ken because we used to talk a lot, and then the separation occurred. But we're still talking about getting him into the studio. It'll probably happen sooner than later.
Cool.
We've also got our watch along, July 2nd.
Yay!
We are going to be here watching The Force Awakens, finally, and then it'll probably take 2 more years to do the Rogue One one. We'll probably wait till after your wedding to do Rogue One.
If that's cool.
Yeah, fine.
If you guys don't mind. Yeah.
And then we also have, we're going to be inviting a special guest in on July 2nd. We're going to wait till next... That is next week.
That's this coming weekend.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Next Sunday. Literally next Sunday, y'all.
Okay. Hold on.
Sunday.
I'm going to vamp. So make sure to check that out. We just started our Glow After Show on AfterBuzz, which is taking over Netflix right now. But we have superstars from the original Glow that are going to be coming in, as well as actresses from the new Glow coming in and talking about their experiences on both shows. It's an amazing time. Little Egypt is the host. Hollywood of the tag team Hollywood and Vine was our guest today, as well as Kia Stevens, who you might know as Awesome Kong from the world of professional wrestling. It was an awesome show. But next week... she is a writer on Forces of Destiny. We are going to be having Jennifer Muro in studio talk about Forces of Destiny. We're going to be as if any big bombs drop this next week. If not that, then we're just going to be talking about Forces of Destiny, and it'll be like a preview. So please make sure to tune in. Submit any questions that you do have. But thank you so much for watching. Oh, and follow the podcast at Jedi Alliance Pod. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Jedi Alliance. Because Phil Lord and Chris Miller's version of Han Solo died.
Wow.
To bring us this information.
Yes.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.